Ryan, once again, if you're going to sell a home, you might as well sell it with Team Dinkytown Real Estate. And here's why. This is really important. You're listening to this because you're a Gopher fan. But more importantly, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group is going to take 1% of the sale price and give that money to Dinkytown athletes to contribute towards the NIL of whatever team you want. It could be all sports. Maybe it's women's basketball. Maybe it's men's basketball. Maybe it's hockey. Whatever it is, it'll be your choice. They've already sold one home for one person. They have another active listing, and they're just looking to support Gopher Sports with an asset that you are going to have, you're going to sell, or you're going to buy.
Makes a lot of sense to me to go with Team Dinkytown, considering that first home they put up went very quickly, $50,000 over asking. So what I want you to do is either go to teamdinkytown.com or call them today at 612-250-8562.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this Purdue Boilermakers preview edition. As your Gophers hit the road for the first time in a while, and they get to travel to West Lafayette, Indiana, one of Luke's favorite former colleges. I don't think actually you went to Purdue.
No, I didn't go. I didn't go there, but I know some people that did. Yeah, I don't think ill of Purdue. I think, frankly, trains are sweet.
I think of cornfields up on a hill, and I think of engineers.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle at all once people figure out, or when student athletes figure out if they don't want to go into engineering and they don't want to live in cornfields. It reminds me almost of Peace and Love. We have some listeners that I know went to one of my favorite former alma maters in St. Olaf. Cornfields in Northfield up on a hill wasn't my jive, which is why I ended up transferring back to the University of Minnesota. But if that's what you like, that's what you like. But I can assure you from someone who's been to West Lafayette before, it is not my jive, Luke.
And so I take it you're not going this week.
This is the first road game I will not have been to so far this year, because I went to North Carolina, Iowa. There's another one in there somewhere. I can't remember which one that was right now, but yeah, this is the first away game that I will not be traveling to. Going to stick here around the cities. I was at Northwestern. That was the other one. That was the debacle. So we'll get to watch this one together, Luke, on NBC. The Gophers-Purdue game, a 5-4 team versus a 2-7 team, is on NBC national television at 2:30 p.m. What a lucky, lucky crowd we are.
We are very, very fortunate. I have not been pleased thus far with NBC. I think they do a really good job on their NFL, but right now I have not been pleased with the college football. But I digress. Okay, so we probably, Ryan, should take care of some housekeeping items. Maybe one quick housekeeping item. I don't know if you saw the elite work that Daniel House has been doing on Gophers Guru, but also on Twitter, he rated how I cooked my 7th Avenue pizza. And, you know, people should get out to Holiday Station stores and buy some 7th Avenue pizza before November 12th, because most importantly, it supports Dinkytown athletes, but also get Daniel to break down your pizza cooking skills. I don't know if you saw that, but I did pretty well on my first ever cook of a 7th Avenue pizza.
I like my pizza well done, just like my toast. I'll put two pieces of toast down and people are going to think I'm a psychopath for this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how on your toaster, it'll be scale of 1 to 10 in mm-hmm. terms of how done it is. I got one at Mach 20 on the far right. I want it incredibly dark. And then I have one at like 2, where it's just slightly toasted. But as someone who spent time with Daniel House today, as he was there for coordinator availability, he is a little bit confused about how he became the pizza guru among among the media members here. So I'm going to have to hear a little bit of detail, because I say this as someone who's looking down right now. You don't get to be 6'4", 240 pounds, and you haven't eaten a lot of pizza in your life, and I certainly have. So how did Daniel House become the guy that is the trusted member of your covenant in terms of pizza reviews.
So honestly, I just like at one point, I occasionally listen to the Minnesota Sports Chat that he and Ross do, because Daniel's great and I love to hear his analysis. And somehow one of the times I was listening, they got into frozen pizzas and I saw Ross tweet at Daniel a picture of his pizza and Daniel just ripped it to shreds. Like he didn't cook it enough. Like, you know,
you should, I'm going to roast House here. Cause I got into that with him.
Yeah.
Did you know House has like his own oven thermometer for frozen pizzas?
No. See, like this is why this is
about it.
This is exactly why he needed to be the guy to break down the pizza cook. So if you're listening to this and you got a Seventh Avenue pizza and you pop it in the oven, pop a photo over to Daniel House on Twitter. He will break it down. Dude.
Yeah, it's absurd. It was actually, because we got on that topic, I actually asked the three players that we got today, plus the two coordinators, about their frozen pizza thoughts, which got some time to kill on this podcast. So I go, Daniel Jackson, what is your favorite frozen pizza and why? A little icebreaker before he's up to the podium, and he just goes, DiGiorno. I go, okay. So he gets done, and then I'm like, why DiGiorno? He goes, honestly, it's the first thing that just popped into my head. And I was like, okay, so that's in. I turn around to, I think it was Andy Greeter. I go, that's invalid then. I mean, if that's our criteria, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Ethan comes up. What do you think Ethan's answer was?
Seventh Avenue Pizza. It's got to be.
He said Cornicione's.
Oh, well, they don't.
His parents' restaurant in Illinois.
He's not paying attention to the question.
Wow, he's such a company man.
Yeah.
That makes sense. His parents own a pizza shop there. If you didn't go there before the Northwestern game, I'd highly recommend it. You do the next time the Gophers are in the Chicago area. What do you think Danny Strigow, he was our final player, said?
Oh, golly. Seventh Avenue Pizza.
None of them said Seventh Avenue. I think he said Jack's, which that's the hill my wife will die on, is she thinks Jack's pizza is the best. So I asked Rossi after he gets done, what do you think he said?
Well, for the bit, I'm going to say Seventh Avenue Pizza.
You're going to keep dying on this hill and none of them played into your hand. I'll give you that spoiler for the final one. But I think he said Totino's because he was a poor college student and they were $2.99.
This is a travesty of epic proportions.
What do you think Harbo said?
I was going to say 7th Avenue Pizza, but apparently no. He's probably a Bellatoria man. I think
you should just keep saying it so people continue to hear it. And they're like, yeah, I should go to my local Holiday Station
7th Avenue now Pizza.
And November 12th and get myself some 7th Avenue
Pizza. Yeah, 7th Avenue Pizza.
But he said, you didn't give a brand. He goes, thin crust, because when it's bigger crust, it just doesn't come out right. But he's a Hawaiian pizza guy.
Oh, he's a pineapple guy. Okay.
I looked at him and said, that's a fireable offense. I mean, to me, that is egregious. You can't – look, I know it's a very polarizing topic, and we'll get into some Gopher football talk here very soon, but I will die on the hill that if you are a Hawaiian pizza person, it's fireable. I don't want to be around you when you're eating at that instance. It'll just make me too upset, Lou.
You know, I'll be honest. I'll pretty much rock any topping on a pizza. I can rock Hawaiian pizza. I prefer pepperoni and pineapple if we got to do the pineapple, but I can do Canadian bacon and pineapple if we have to. So
I like grilled pineapple. I want to make that clear, but I want nothing to do with pineapple on a pizza. It is just not the two flavor combinations that I want. But before we get into this football discussion, last thing I want to say is everyone needs to realize Daniel House has his own oven thermometer for his frozen pizzas that I have eaten thousands of frozen pizzas in my life. Probably piece of love to myself. It just, I'm going to be honest with the listeners, but how I have never at any instance in my entire life thought to myself, and to use Daniel House's words against him, the integrity of the pizza gets compromised. And I'm like, Daniel, it's a frozen pizza. It's like $7.99. What are we doing here? This is not like a great piece of meat that you got from a butcher. It's $6.99 from the Cub down the street. I got in all types of moods.
I just love how you get worked up about some of the silliest things. So let's get into some college football.
It's so silly because it's a frozen. All right, we need to get out of this game.
Okay, so real quick, we need to hit some. Injuries. That's important. Obviously, people are probably most focused on Darius Taylor. But yeah, give us a quick injury update and what you can with regards to this game against Purdue.
So let's start on the Purdue side of things. Purdue's 2-7, and a big part of that has been injuries for them. They have lost their starting left tackle, their starting right tackle, their starting tight end, and one of their starting cornerbacks for the entire season. I would also say a depth receiver by the name of Mershon Rice is out for the season after he got injured last week against Michigan. They got another receiver who's out after he tore his ACL in fall camp. Plus, I would say that their quarterback, it sounds like, has not been the same since the Illinois game. Hudson Card is playing banged up right now. So why is Purdue where they are, what they are? Their schedule has not been conducive, but they're also banged up. So on the Minnesota side of things, we're all still waiting to see if and when Darius Taylor returns. You know, just soft tissue injuries are what they are. And that we saw Zach Evans return last week. I would imagine that the plan would be another week of hopefully Zach Evans continuing to get a little bit healthier. I don't think he's going to ever be 100% between now and the Wisconsin game, but a duo of him and Jordan Newbin is what I would imagine they're going to rely on if Darius Taylor does not return. And as far as that, I don't think I remember too many injuries that Minnesota sustained in that Illinois game otherwise, unless you can think of one.
No, not off the top of my head. I can't think of one. I think you're probably right. They got more or less out of there unscathed. Obviously, you mentioned there had been some concern about Daniel Jackson, but he obviously was able to go in that game and looked obviously
quite good. Yeah, Daniel Jackson's banged up, and I don't know that he'll be at 100% between now and the Wisconsin game. But the point being, even not at 100%, Daniel Jackson is still
real good.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Tyler Cooper is the one that we haven't touched on either.
Yeah, and he'd been playing real well. We got to make sure we talk about that.
Yeah, I would argue he's Minnesota's best guard.
Yeah.
And we still have no more further clarity on that. Wasn't dressed on the sidelines last week. I do know that. So hopefully he's back because he is, in my opinion, Minnesota's best guard and has been through September, October. So hopefully they can get him back at some point here in November.
Okay, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, the Gophers are averaging 21.7 points per game. They're averaging 143 yards through the air, 165 yards on the ground, 308 yards of total offense. And the Purdue defense on the year is giving up 31.2 points per game. They're giving up 238 yards through the air and 148 yards on the ground, and that would equal about 387 yards of total offense. So Ryan, when we look at this, how do you expect this Gopher offense to try and exploit this Purdue defense?
Well, I would say this. What you need to know about Purdue's defense is they run a 3-4-ish type of defense. From talking with our Purdue guy, Mick Walker, this week, he calls it a 5-1-5, where their two edge rushers are outstanding, including number four, Kydren Jenkins leads the entire Big Ten defensive line in pressures with 40. He's got the most amount of pressures on a quarterback in the entire Big Ten. He's been that good. And they got number five, I think it's Nick Scorton is how you say his name. He's top, I believe, eight in the Big Ten in pressures. So they got two guys on the edge that are really good at what they do. Now, if you're giving me a chance, and I'm probably going to, well, we'll see if it comes back to bite me, but I'm going to bet against the rest of the Brick Haley defensive line, considering he doesn't coach those two because they're technically outside linebackers. But Purdue is a defense that is going to look very similar to what you saw last week against Illinois. Why? Because their head coach, first year, Ryan Walters, was the defensive coordinator at Illinois last year. So I would tell you, I'd say about 75% of things are going to look very similar. There's going to be some nuanced differences because this is still Ryan Walters putting his own stamp on the defense. But you're still going to see a safety 15, 20 yards down the field. You're still going to see them playing a lot of man coverage. And it's going to come down to, can Minnesota win for the second straight week in man coverage? I know that Derek Burns is a big fan of this receiving core. And I hope to be again after watching hopefully Minnesota go against these Purdue defensive backs, but that's going to be the key for both teams. And especially for Minnesota's offense, Luke, is they have to stay on schedule. What does that mean? It means you're getting second and third manageable, because we saw, like in the second half last week, I believe Minnesota was 0 of 7 on third down. Why? Because the average distance to go on those seven second half third downs was nearly 8 yards. Minnesota's not a good second and third and long team. Neither is Purdue, and we'll get to that when we talk about Minnesota's defense versus Purdue's offense, but it's staying on schedule. And then in the second half, obviously, you got to find a rhythm and you just got to adjust, because Ethan's been tremendous in the first half the last 2 weeks. And then they've completed a total of 3 second half passes between the Michigan State and Illinois game. That can't happen again, especially if you're going to win on the road as an underdog in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the advanced stats in this game, Ryan, obviously we know that the Gophers tend to like to run the ball. Purdue, it tends to be very good against the run as it relates to total EPA and EPA per play. That's probably the strength of their defense. They're top 50 in the country against that. They conversely are not very good against the pass, if you're looking at EPA. So you would hope that the Gophers can find some success through the air. That conversely, though, statistically in throughout the season, the Gophers won. Can find some success through the air. They usually don't stick with it, and that's been their struggle. So it'll be interesting to see how the Gophers want to go at this Purdue Boilermaker defense, because what they want to do is maybe not what Purdue does particularly well, or that is more what Purdue does better, versus, you know, what they don't do well. Minnesota tends to not want to sustain the pass. So you got to think you want to get up to an early lead, because if Minnesota is just going to sit on the ball, it gives me some concern that they're going to be able to hold on to the lead and finish the game out.
Right. So, I mean, it just comes down to Purdue's, I'd say, above average at times at stopping the run, but we'll get into some statistics a little bit later where they've been especially susceptible on third down and especially susceptible in the red zone on the ground. But Purdue wants to make you throw. And when they do, they got two of the best edge rushers in the entire Big Ten that are hopefully Minnesota can be aware of, number 4 and number 5.
Ryan, again, it is getting cold out. Sweatshirts are becoming the norm. Obviously, jackets are becoming the norm. And this is where Home Field Apparel can help you. Ran into a guy at the Gopher basketball game, and he was wearing a Home Field jacket. Use our code GG23. And let me tell you, man, it looks better in person than it ever did from the website.
It's one of the coolest jackets you're going to see. Very retro-looking bomber jacket. Or even if you're just looking for some sweatshirts, some sweatpants, especially as it gets chillier here, especially as everybody starts to make their Christmas list. If you got a Gopher fan in your life that could use some unique, high-quality merch that feels great to the touch, so good your wife's going to steal it, go to homefieldapparel.com, peruse what they got in the Gopher section. I believe they got over 20-plus unique items. And then when you get to checkout, use promo code GG23 to save 15% off your first order. That's homefieldapparel.com, and when you get to checkout, promo code GG23 to save 15% off your first order.
All right, let's talk about when this Gopher defense is on the field. They will be taking on a Purdue offense that is led by Hudson Card. And maybe most importantly, Ryan, their identity is they absolutely want to throw the ball. So on the season, this Purdue Boilermaker offense is averaging 20.9 points per game. They're averaging 207 yards through the air and 132 on the ground, 339 yards of total offense. Conversely, the Gophers are giving up 23.2 points per game. They're giving up 223 through the air, and they are giving up 113 on the ground, a total of about 137 yards of total offense. So, Ryan, how do you expect this Gopher defense to rein in Hudson Card and this Purdue offense?
Well, like I mentioned in the open, Purdue's playing with backup tackles at both spots. They're a little bit banged up on their offensive line. And I would argue Minnesota's defensive line is playing at the highest level, at least we've seen in pass rush, in years. And the way Jod Joyner continues to come on strong, Danny Strigow, Devin Eastern, Kyler Baugh, Jalen Logan Redding, I mean, they're playing very well as a pass rush unit. We're talking about in the three games since the bye, they have PFF pass rush grades all over 70 as a defensive line unit or as a defensive unit. In two of the last three games, including the one against Illinois, they have an 80-plus grade, which is tremendous. Anything over 60 is above average. Above 70 is good. Above 80 is great. Great to elite. So they've been playing really well up front, and that's going to come up huge in this game to me because Purdue's got two tailbacks, including one by the name of Devin Mockabee, which you'll remember him from last year's game where he had 112 yards rushing, including a 68-yard backbreaker late in that fourth quarter to really salt away the game for Purdue, for them able to be able to get the win at Huntington Bank Stadium. They've also got an Iowa transfer by the name of Tyrone Tracy, who's more of the east-west to go to Maccabee's north-south. But to me, it comes down to the play up front. I mentioned it in the open. Purdue has struggled of late when they are off schedule. What does that sound like? The University of Minnesota Golden Gopher offense. Mm-hmm. So if you can put Purdue in second and third and long, your chances go up. Now, this is a Purdue offense that some of it has been because they have faced a lot of really good defenses. When you look at their last four games, Luke, they have faced Iowa, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I would say all of them are good, and I would say at least three of them are great. And I think Nebraska is underrated in that. So they've faced a lot of good defenses, and no team in the Big Ten West, because of that and because of the negative game scripts they've been in, no team has dropped back to pass more than the Purdue Boilermakers. Now, that's what happens when you're 2-7 and you can't lean on the running game, because in their two wins against Virginia Tech and Illinois, their two starting tailbacks have carried the ball on average of 30 times per game. So it's the same thing every single week, Luke. You got to stop the run, and then what has been Minnesota's Achilles heel when it doesn't go well for them is the explosive passing plays. So it's going to be key is if you can back up Purdue into these second and third and longs. Hudson Card has put the ball, whether in harm's way, whether the strip sack, whether it's just errant throws at times. But it comes down to me, how does Minnesota's defensive line show up? To me, everybody knows, including the late, great Justin Gard, who's putting his kids to bed right now, that I love to take a stroll down Narrative Street. And the Gopher media loves to more than me. So it's the revenge game for the Gopher defensive line unit, who their position coach last year didn't have them play up to snuff. They're playing at a very high level since the bye week, and I would love to see Minnesota's defensive line create a couple of turnovers so that Minnesota can emerge with bowl eligibility in West Lafayette.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that getting them off schedule is important. If you look at some of the advanced stats, the early down EPA for Purdue is not great when they're on offense. They're 104th in the country if you look at CFB graphs by Stats of War, Mr. Parker Fleming. And additionally, as a result, because they're not getting a lot of successful plays on early downs, you know, their third and fourth down success rate is actually quite low. They're at 100th in the country. In general, this Gopher defense has to continue to be opportunistic, find ways to force turnovers like you alluded to, but maybe more importantly is be consistent and don't give opportunities for explosive plays. We harp on that so often.
And that's what Joe Rossi talked about today with the media was, it's been great that the defensive line has been so disruptive and they've forced now multiple turnovers in every game since the bye week. But what's killing him is these explosive passing plays. And it's just the little details that separate a great defense versus a bad defense. And if you make the play, like on the 4th and 11, Trey Jones slips out of his break. If he doesn't slip out of his break, it's probably a pass breakup, and mm-hmm. No one remembers the John Paddock game. Or, as Rossi detailed, the safeties didn't get enough depth on that game-winning touchdown for them, especially number 27. So it comes down to little things, these little situational things that Minnesota's got to figure out. Like on 2nd and 3rd and long, Purdue likes to run specific route combinations. Well, if Hudson Card does break the pocket, I got to be ready for X, Y, and Z. So it's the little details that Rossi loves to talk about, and he's not wrong, that separate if 10 of the 11 guys are doing their job, but that 11th guy isn't, that's how explosive plays can happen, and that which lead to touchdowns.
Ryan, once again, Burns Insurance Agency has been a long supporter of Gopher Gridiron Radio, and we know that a number of our listeners have found both savings and better coverage when it comes to working with the Burns Insurance Agency.
I heard from my favorite insurance agent that a couple of you actually hit him up since our last episode against Illinois, and he was able to save multiple Gopher fans over $300 when they switched their home and their auto to the independent insurance agency located in Oakdale, Minnesota, called the Burns Insurance Agency. Now, how does he do that? Well, that's the beauty of an independent insurance agent. He's not State Farm. He's not with the Gecko. He puts your needs and your coverage to 20 different insurance companies, gets the best coverage at the best price for you, and he does that on an annual basis. So if you want to check them out today, like a couple of you Gopher fans have here in the last 48, 72 hours, go to insurancebyburns.com, look around, or you can just email him directly at bill@insurancebyburns.com. That is insurancebyburns.com.
Okay, let's get to the facts and figures for this contest, Ryan. This will be a 2:30 kick on NBC, which we have already kind of mourned.
Hey, I'm okay with it because I got the little antenna thing where I don't have to watch it on delay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be as quick to my TV set as it can possibly be. I can't believe of all the games in college football, this is the one on NBC on a 2:30 start.
Yeah, 2:30 start. Again, this will be at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. The over-under, as brought to you now by ESPN Bet. I noticed that recently. These are no longer from Caesars. You might remember the little bar stool transaction-y thing that happened. Now ESPN Bet will be setting the odds that we'll look at. The over-under for this one, Ryan, is 46.5. Currently, Purdue is a one-point favorite in this contest. If we take a jump over to the weather, it looks like a great day for football. Around kickoff time, the temperature should be in the upper 40s, probably 48, 49 if you're heading there. Wind shouldn't be a factor. 4-ish miles an hour out of the northeast. Doesn't look like there's much chance of rain. Just a good old Saturday football contest under some really good, decent weather to, pop the pads a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you've looked at the weather reports like I have, Luke Buehr, but it's projected to be one of the warmest Novembers on record.
I did see this.
Like, it's going to be potentially here in the Twin Cities next week around 60 degrees, which is wild. So Purdue's passing game gets to play in upper 40s, lower 50s, light wind, about as ideal conditions as you can ask for of a Big Ten team. But this line, we'll get into, surprises me quite a bit. Minnesota opened as a 2.5-point favorite, and as I'm staring at it now on Vegas Insider, the consensus has them as a 1 or 1.5-point underdog. That's a 4-point swing for something that isn't injury-related as far as I know, and the over-under has gone up a couple of points to that 46.5 that you mentioned, but I'm surprised. Now, everybody would say, Ryan, every game is the same. It's a coin flip either way. Have you watched the Golden Gophers? I would say back to you, the listener, I have unfortunately watched way too much Golden Gopher football, especially on rewatch. You're going to hear in my keys of the game, I just think that this game plays out a lot better for Minnesota than maybe Vegas thinks, because 4-point swing, now having Purdue as the slight favorite, surprises me. I would have kept that line probably at the 2.5 for Minnesota, but we're going to see, as many listeners like to tell me, I know nothing, and we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong.
All right, so let's take a quick stroll down your keys to this game, and then we'll get to our predictions.
So my key for the Gopher offense is one that many listeners, many people who watch the team and cover the team would say, play 60 minutes of football with the foot on the gas pedal. Because the top complaint I hear from the Gopher football fans on social media, Gopher Illustrated, or in person is how much they lament this Minnesota offense. Now, listeners, I hear you. I see your tweets. I see your Gopher Illustrated posts. And outside of wanting a change at the special teams coordinator, the masses' next wish, Luke, is to can first-year offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh. So I'm going to ask Luke Buehr these two questions. You ready, Luke?
Ready.
Where do you think Minnesota's offense ranks among 14 Big Ten teams in scoring within conference play? And then where do you think that they also rank among the 7 Big Ten West teams within that same parameter?
They're probably dead in the middle, so I'll give them like 7th in scoring.
And where do you think they rank among Big Ten West offenses in scoring as well?
Oh, they're probably 2nd or 3rd.
The Gopher offense leads the Big Ten West in points scored during conference play, and they rank fifth in the Big Ten in that same metric in 20.3 points per conference game.
Yeah.
So all I can hear in the back of my mind is, but Ryan, they rank 104th in scoring offense overall. Yeah, I'm aware. But let's put the pitchforks down, because this is the Big Ten is actually an off or a conference, I should say, that plays defense compared to, say, I don't know, the Pac-12.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, I don't know, the Big 12. So you're also talking about an offense that has lost two Big Ten West games where they've scored 34 and 26 points respectively. It's not primarily on the offense for those. I'm sorry, it's not. But one of the things that we can agree on of late is the promising first halves of this Gopher passing game. In the last two contests against Michigan State and Illinois, 8th and Cali McManus in the first half of games has combined to complete 76% of his passes for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's a yards per attempt of over 11 yards. That's damn good for a college passing offense, especially in the Big Ten. But the root of the issue comes in the second half, where the passing game has fallen off a precipitous cliff. Ethan has only completed 3 passes in the second half in the last two games for a total of 47 passing yards. It's hard to fathom how you can look so good in one half and is so bad in the second half. But what plays a part in that, in which the media and fans can agree, Luke, is head coach PJ Fleck starts to influence the offense more and more and more and more and more and more in the second half, especially on offense. And then it becomes incredibly run heavy. And when Minnesota can't run the ball in the second half like they couldn't last week, that's how you put your offense in a tough spot. That's how you go 0-7 on third downs in the final 30 minutes of the game, especially when the average distance to go is nearly 8 yards. So this is my plea to PJ Fleck. Let the offense have balance and flow for a full 60 minutes, especially if slash when the running game dries up in the second half with your RB4 and your RB5. Does Ethan want some plays back against Illinois? Yes, I listened to him talk today. It's still bothering him, that second down run where he should have punctured and got the first down, or the pop pass. No one's disagreeing on that. But where I think I maybe differ in the popular opinion right now is, if you can't see that Cali McManus is making clear progress, we see this thing very differently. In his first 12 starts, the last 6 games of 2022 and the first 6 of 2023, one metric I love to look at on Pro Football Focus is big time throws. Okay. Now, PFF defines that metric as a pass with excellent ball location and timing, generally thrown further down the field or into a tighter window. So in the first 12 starts of his career, Luke, he only had 5 of those. In his last 3 games since the bye, starts 13, 14, and 15, he's totaled 8 of those throws. So he's got more in the last 3 games of those big-time throws than he had in the first 12 games of his career where he was starting. That's promising to me. Within that, he's only turned the ball over 3 times in the last 3 games. And for a head coach who models his team around the ball as the program, I think that'll do. But if the passing game is going to take off in the first half, we mentioned how Minnesota is going to have to account for number 4, Kydren Jenkins, and number 5, Nick Skorton, I believe. Now, Jenkins specifically, number 4, leads the Big Ten in all the Big Ten in pressures. He's as impactful to me as what you saw Johnny Newton be for Illinois last week. So the Gophers got to know where Jenkins is at all times. They got to know where number 5 is at all times. But let this offense go with whatever is working and not worry about the run pass in the second half, PJ. Defensively, Luke, seems pretty simple again. Stop the run and stop giving up, as you would like to say, cataclysmic explosive passing plays. Now, in the 2 games that Purdue was able to win so far this season, the running game has been a big story. They got a north-south runner in Devin Maccabee, number 45, who Gopher fans will remember from last year when he ran for 112 yards, including that 68-yard late to put it away. He's paired with an east-west runner, Iowa transfer Tyrone Tracy Jr., who's got double-digit carries in 3 of the last 4 games. Now, in the 2 wins that Purdue has, those 2 tailbacks averaged 30 carries a game, and they ran it efficiently at 5.4 yards per carry. And they've done that a lot on their own because this offensive line doesn't have a single run blocking unit performance grade of over 65 this season. That's not good. They've been at least only average to below average. And in their two games since their bye week, they've graded out at 57.9 in both games, which is below average. So this is a Purdue run blocking offensive line that is in the bottom quarter, and Minnesota's run defense continues to show more improvement from where they were early in the season. They're currently fourth in Big Ten play, allowing only 109 rushing yards per game. We've seen a physicality improvement from Winston Delady-Boudaire's unit. Now they need to show up again on Saturday. Now we all know this, but when Minnesota's defense has been exploited, they've been getting cooked through the air. Let's look at the three non-Michigan losses. Now, other than sign stealing, Michigan's just in a whole level by themselves.
Yes.
So against Northwestern, North Carolina, and Illinois, and it pains me to go through these stats, but I think it's important. The opposing quarterback in those three games averaged a 72% completion percentage for 369 passing yards and an average of 3.33 passing touchdowns to one pick. Where it gets even worse somehow is on 89 completions, Luke, they averaged over 12 yards per completion. That's about as damning of a stat as you can find. And in those three games, the Northwestern, North Carolina, Illinois games, Minnesota's passing defense allowed 12 different completions of 20 or more yards, and five of those went for touchdowns. Now they get to face a Big Ten offense that wants to pass, as no team in the West has dropped back to pass more than Purdue.
Right.
And that's where you're going to get to see Texas transfer Hudson Card, who is throwing the ball for over 200 times in conference play. He's completing 53% of his passes for 173 yards with six passing touchdowns and seven picks. Now, it's tough to always quantify Pro Football Focus stuff, and I always don't want to rely too heavily on it, but I will say this. Hudson Card has not had a game graded above 55 in any of his last four starts. Now, we've talked about how tremendous the defenses were that he was going against, but within that, he leads all Big Ten quarterbacks with 18 turnover-worthy plays, including 10 of those in the last four games. So Minnesota's got to rely on that defensive line that's really come on strong. It's the revenge Brick Haley game, but Minnesota's got to continue to be opportunistic. They've forced multiple turnovers in each of their last three games, including three last week versus Illinois. And that'll have to continue if they're going to get a Big Ten road win. But if you can just stop allowing explosive passing plays, you're going to be in a good spot. But if they continue, like we saw last week, it could be a tough day in West Lafayette. And then finally, Luke, they got to win on third down, and they got to win the turnover margin. Because after being so good on third down last year in Big Ten play and just overall, Minnesota struggled this season. They're allowing 42.2% of third downs to be converted against them in conference play. And to compare that to last year, Minnesota only allowed 30% of third downs to be converted against them in Big Ten play. Well, the nice thing for Minnesota is they're literally going to be facing the worst third down defense in Big Ten play in Purdue, who's allowing opposing offenses to convert at a 44% clip. So this is what I want you to know, Luke and the listeners. Neither defense is good at getting off the field on third down, so whichever one can in this game is probably going to win. And on the flip side, the turnover margin. Minnesota's plus four in their last three games. Purdue is plus three, yet they're still 0-3 in their last three games. Minnesota's defense has forced eight turnovers in their last three games, while Ryan Walters' unit has forced seven takeaways. So both defenses are forcing turnovers at a high rate. So whoever can win the turnover margin is probably going to have a pretty good shot on Saturday afternoon.
All right, let's get to our predictions. Before we do that, we'll review the betting lines again. It's a 46.5 over-under. Purdue is favored by one. On the season, Ryan, you... against the over under, you are 5-4. Against the spread, you are 4-4-1. On the season, I am 3-6 on the over under, and I am 4-4-1 against the spread. Ryan, you are 7-2 in picking the games overall, and I am also 7-2 as well. So I can go first. I think I forced you to go first a couple of times recently. I do think that the Gophers are going to end up victorious in this one and get another one back in the victory column. I will pick the Gophers to win 27-21. I think that they will do just enough on offense, and the defense will force just enough turnovers. I'm not necessarily convinced that they're going to be a lights out, shut them down defense. I think Purdue will find some success in that passing game. But ultimately, I think the Gophers will be victorious again, 27-21.
So you're taking Minnesota plus point.
Yep, and I'm going to take the over too.
Okay. I got a couple more notes before I get my prediction. No Big Ten team has allowed more red zone rushing touchdowns than Purdue. They've allowed 11 of them during conference play. Luke, do you know how many red zone running touchdowns Minnesota has in 6 conference games so far this year?
5?
3.
Oh.
Isn't that... I'm so used to that being a double-digit score or a double-digit point already for them, but you don't have Mo Ibrahim, and your tailbacks have struggled in short yarded situations. So you're facing a team that allows a lot of red zone running touchdowns, yet you only have 3. Now, special teams wise, Pro Football Focus ranks Purdue about an average team in terms of in the Big Ten and special teams. They rank 7th best. Minnesota still ranks dead last. And Minnesota, as we currently sit here in time, according to Pro Football Focus, the special teams units grade are 63rd of 68 Power 5 teams. But one area they're going to have the advantage, Luke, is in the kicking game. The Purdue Boilermakers rank last in the Big Ten in field goal percentage at 44% of their field goals have been made. They're currently 4 of 9. So they started the year with their place kicker being a man by the name of Ben Freehill. And then he got banged up a little bit. He was benched for Julio, I think it's Marcus, who then missed 3 field goals, went 0-for-3 against Ohio State. They've now returned to Freehill as he's gotten healthy. But I will say, Dragan Kesic seems to be the sure thing in the place-kicking game. Purdue's place-kicking game has not been that. I will also say, I'm very curious to see how the return game impacts things because Purdue has one of the lowest touchback percentages in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Only 31% of their kickoffs go for touchbacks. And we know how that went last week with gifting. Minnesota's return units are the things that keep on giving and not to their own football team. So last note would be no team in the Big Ten has allowed more rushing yards than Purdue, and no team has allowed just more rushing touchdowns in general than Purdue. Now, Illinois' defensive line dictated that Minnesota wasn't going to be able to run the ball in the second half. I don't think that happens 2 weeks in a row against Purdue. Rossi's defense gets some key second half turnovers. The Brick Haley revenge game goes the way of Minnesota. And PJ Fleck walks into his press conference saying, I was finally able to salt away a game on offense. Minnesota wins 23-20. That is a Minnesota cover, and that is an under.
I see where we differ once again. Should be a fun contest. We'll have to check it out. Let's get a quick break, and then we'll get over and preview some of the Big Ten games. Ryan, once again, I just have to comment how much I love my Comply foam earbud tips. They are in my ears so much throughout the day. Again, I love having my AirPods back. One of the things that I need to stress, though, is that when I initially got them, I was able to order a pack that gave me 3 different sizes, and I tried actually all 3, and that was the best thing because I was able to find the one that was perfect for me. And so now when I've reordered, I know exactly what I'm getting and what I need, and they're just the perfect fit and so comfortable with no ear pain.
And with Christmas around the corner, it seems like a perfect gift for someone in your life that is maybe of the younger generation or someone that you know wears earbuds all the time. Because I can guarantee those silicone tips that they have in there right now are causing them pain. They're constantly adjusting, or you're just moving them around. So what I want you to do, go to complyfoam.com, figure out what they have, whether it's Apple AirPods or whatever they may be. Go to checkout, get some of these memory foam tips, and use the promo code GG23 to save 20% off your first order.
Ryan, Ryan, one of the best things about November is there are no bye games. So we have a number of games this week. We'll get into them. I don't think anybody is looking more forward to the Michigan and Penn State game than the network called Fox. The game is on at 11. It's going to be on Fox. It's their big noon game of the week. The over-under is 44.5, and Michigan is only favored by 4.5.
Obviously a gigantic game for both teams. I think the thing I want to see here from Penn State, another big spot game under James Franklin. You failed against Ohio State, especially on third down. I think they started 0 for their last or their first 12 third downs against the Buckeyes. Can they find a little bit more success against Jesse Minter's defense?
All right. Next game, again, this one at 11 a.m. is going to be on BTN. This features the Indiana Hoosiers, who got their first conference win last week against Wisconsin, facing off against the Illinois Fighting Illini, who will be having this game at home. Illinois is 4-5 on the year after that win at Minnesota. They need this one, Ryan, to be able to get to bowl eligibility, and they have Indiana, Iowa, and Northwestern left.
Seems like to me, if they are going to make a bowl game, and I think it's year three now under Brett Bielema, this is a game they got to win. I know your Tom Allen team finally bowed up, considering Tom Allen figured out that Luke Buehr won the bet. It was the Luke Buehr thank you game is what I'll call it.
Yeah,
he's able to beat Wisconsin, and now Illinois has got to show up here at home. But this is gigantic for Illinois if they're going to be able to go to a bowl game this year.
All right, the last game on Peacock at 11 a.m. Will feature the Maryland Terrapins and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska will be at home. The winner of this game, Ryan, is going bowling.
Can Maryland get out of their own way, or is this going to be yet another disappointing finish to the season? Now, it's not easy for them to go into a place like Lincoln and be able to win a game. I'm a little bit surprised that Maryland's a 2.5-point favorite here, because I would imagine Nebraska at home here, especially with their suffocating defense. But if Maryland can get a lead here, we know how inept that Nebraska passing game can be. So I think it comes down to who gets the game script that they want in this game in Lincoln.
And you know what surprised me there is Maryland is favored by 2.5 here on the road. That definitely did surprise me. Again, another 2:30 game, or the first 2:30 game on BTN will feature the Rutgers Scarlet Knights against the Iowa Hawkeyes. It is a 28.5 over under, Ryan. Iowa favored by 1 at home at Kinnick. Oh boy.
Yikes. I think this is the lowest total, if it finishes here, in modern college football betting history. I think Thor Nystrom is the one who loves to keep track of that type of stuff. But Minnesota East going into Kinnick. Minnesota East has seen Minnesota have success there. I'll say it right now. I think Rutgers comes away with a win in this game. I have no trust in that Iowa offense. And I think Minnesota may be able to relay some things to Joe Harris-Simiak and Kirk Shiraka about what they may change if they could do it all over again.
All right. So on FS1, again, another 2:30 game. This will feature the Northwestern Wildcats 5-4 against the Wisconsin Badgers 4-5. The over under is 42.5. Wisconsin is a 9.5-point favorite. Honestly, Ryan, that surprised me a little bit, that spread, knowing what we've seen so far from Northwestern. Again, Northwestern has Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois to close out this campaign. They need to get two victories to get an improbable bowl bid.
Well, I look at the home road splits for Northwestern. They've been very good at home. They've been very poor on the road. They've scored 7 points against Rutgers, 14 points against Duke, 9 points against Nebraska. I have no faith in Northwestern being able to go up against a very banged up Wisconsin team, but I'll be very curious to see, Luke. Does Tanner Mordecai return for the Badgers at quarterback? Does Braylon Allen return? If not, this could be a meat grinder type of game for the Wisconsin Badgers.
All right. Again, we want to thank you all for listening. We appreciate.
How dare you not talk about Ohio State as a 31-point home favorite?
Did I miss that
Michigan
one?
State? But that's all we need to mention there is I can't think of a way Michigan State other than Ohio State imploding on themselves.
I can't believe
31 point spread. That's all you need to know.
31 point spread. 31 point spread. I can't believe I missed that one. And this one is the like game of the week, right? Oh man, NBC's got to be just rubbing their temples right now. I guess I glossed over it, much like Americans will probably watching their games on Saturday night. Again, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting our sponsors, as we know many of you have. It's really fun to do this. It's really fun to break down the games, but also preview them. Again, thank you so much, and go Gophers.